I was there. I was born in the garden. As soon as the command came, I came into existence. Before that time, I was not called upon. I was there at the beginning. I'm not eternal, but my beginning point started in the garden. I did my first work there in the garden for my master. Whenever he came to Eve and said, "Did God actually say you should not eat of any tree in the garden?" And then added to that statement a portion of my element, "You shall not surely die." I taught Cain as time went on. I already had gotten his father and his mother to follow after me, and now I went after him. I taught him, that is Cain, and said to him, "Do you see what is happening to you? How you're being made fun of? How you're told you're not good enough? How you are laughed at?" I'm sure in the evenings, whenever Abel pillows his head, he laughs at you, and he deserves to die. And you need to carry that out. I called almost the whole world to my side. I only lost 8 souls on that day when the flood came. I had everyone else on the face of the earth. They were following after me. It was really one of my crowning achievements. Yes, I was there at that time and saw the destruction and saw the death. But I lost 8 souls because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I was with Moses, that man that was so mild and humble above all others, that was being attacked day in and day out by the murmuring and the complaining. And I set those people to that murmuring and complaining and continually afflicted Moses day in and day out by those that I was leading. He had before obeyed the Lord in giving water to this stiff-necked people. And then again, he gave water, but not in accordance with God's word, but in accordance with my direction. God had told him, "Speak to the rock," but he smote it. And because of that, God said to him, "Because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I had given them." I kept Moses out of the promised land. I was there. I took King Saul by the hand and I led him. And at first he was a mild man also. As a matter of fact, he was shy. But I got him out of that. And whenever he had been given instruction by God to destroy all of the Amalekites, I taught him something better. You know, there's something in this for you. You can bring back the king and show forth before all the people your glory, your power as king, and you can keep the best of the flocks. You can take spoil. Why in the world would you want to destroy the goodly flocks that are among the people of the Amalekites? Why would you want to do that? Go and confess before Samuel, "I have performed all of the commandment of God." I taught him to do that because I was there. I was with David that night. David, that man after God's own heart. No one could touch him. That's the way that people looked at him. He could not be afflicted or affected. He was the mighty man of valor. And he was the one that killed his tens of thousands, the glory that came upon him because the Lord was with him. But I was with him that night whenever Bathsheba was seen by him. And he called her to him, being the wife of Uriah, and he lay with her. The one through whom the Christ would come, I was able to get to. The man after God's own heart fell away at that point. I was there. I earnestly sought Solomon and I slew him. Solomon became my crowning achievement. The wisest of all. The wisdom given to him by God. And certainly someone that is so wise as Solomon could ever be affected by me. But I found a way. I found a way because he loved many foreign women. And he did not heed the commandment of God, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. And then I knew exactly when to attack. When Solomon was old, and his heart was turned away, was not loyal to God as his father's heart was, David, to God. And he burned incense and sacrificed to the idol gods of the land. I was there. What a victory. I was at the testing of Jesus, and I put before him choices. And I started out by saying, if you are the Son of God, I knew that he was the Son of God. My master knew that he was the Son of God. But my master used me that way. If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Jesus, of course, he quoted scripture. And so my master also used me in quoting scripture. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Oh, I know the scriptures. I know the Bible. I know it better than most people that call themselves Christians. And I put that before him. But what I do with the scriptures is that I twist them. The meaning of them. The concepts of them. And then I said to Jesus, this great deceit, this great lie, all these things, looking at the kingdoms of the earth, all these things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. My master knew and I knew that he already was the king over all the kingdoms of the earth. He was the ruler. But I put that before him anyway. But the problem was is that this was Jesus. And the problem was is that at this point in time, even though I tried to affect him, Jesus showed to all those that are in the world that my master and I could be overcome. And my master left him. I made friends with Judas and showed him a better way. Why in the world are you going around in poverty? There's so much more that is out there in the world for you. Why are you scraping by? There's a better way than that. Go to the Sanhedrin and talk to them. And even before that, think about what's in it for you whenever you were anointed with oil. And bring up the point. Could this not have been sold and been given to the poor? And then go to the Sanhedrin and tell them, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you? And they said, counted out 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, I helped Judas find the right time to betray his master. I lured Peter to sit among the unbelievers after Jesus was taken captive. He was out of his element. And that's what I try to do. I always try to put people out of their element. Those that are Christians, those that are believers in God, I try to take them out of their element. And I tried to comfort them when they sat among the unbelievers and tell them, this is where you belong. This is where it is. I was at the cross, and almost everyone there followed my lead. People walked by and blasphemed Christ, and they wagged their heads at him. You who destroy the temple, save yourself. If you're able to save yourself, come down from the cross and we'll believe you. And the chief priests also, the religious leaders of the day, I was with them. I was there. Along with the scribes and the elders. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. I had the minds of the people. They were following after me every step of the way. They showed that Savior on the cross, you're not so highly thought of. Surely I'm going to win. That was my master's thought, and that was my thought. I have many followers. Those that work adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions and heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revilers, and the such like, that catch all, that catches everything that I'm involved in and lead people to. I was there, and I am there with my master working today. Because as my master is roaring lion looking about who he may devour, he uses me. I am his possession, I am his tool. And I didn't stop with the apostles. I didn't stop with Judas. Matter of fact, I'll never stop. I not only affected Peter and Judas, apostles of Christ Jesus. I affected individuals such as Hymenaeus, Alexander, and Philetus, who would teach things that were unscriptural and would lead people astray, away from the truth. I taught Demas to forsake Paul and the Lord. I taught Diotrephes, he's my child, to have preeminence in the church so that none would question him. I was there and I'm continually there, ever working. I'm fully known. I'm not hidden whatsoever. I'm in plain sight. No one is ignorant of my master's devices. And that's the beauty of my work. That even though I am working and turning minds and so forth, I'm right there in plain sight. People, if they would just look and contemplate and meditate upon what I do, would say, people should not live like this. Yet by my deceit, I'm ignored. Such as those that follow me in speaking great swelling words of emptiness. They allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. I use that deceit and I use those lures. Those devices are of me that my master uses. Who am I? I'm the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. As long as this world stands, I will live and work tirelessly. 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17, do not love the world nor the things that are in the world, and that's what I'm about. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him, and that is where I'm trying to turn people to, the love that comes from me rather than from God. Because just as my master is, so am I, his tool that he uses. I want the destruction of the souls. That's my aim. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world and promoted by me. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever, and that is what I don't want. I was there, and I am here. Another speaks, though. I, too, was there. But I was before all things. I have no beginning. I have no end. Proverbs 8, verses 20 through 32. Verse 22, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his ways, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was an earth. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. Then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight. Blessed are those who keep my ways. And it is certainly so that in the creation of the world, people can see my work. but especially so in the spiritual aspect, they see my work, if they will look. I was there, but I was before all things. I was in the garden and I was quoted. And Eve said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but if the fruit of the tree is in the midst of the garden, God has said you should not eat it nor touch it, lest you die." It was what came forth out of the mouth of God. And it, because it came forth out of his mouth, and I was with him, and I am his tool, it showed forth what needed to be done. But I was not called upon. She listened to that serpent. And then when she looked and saw that the fruit was not poisonous, but that it was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree is desirable to make one wise, she took of the fruit and ate it. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate it. I was not heeded. It was all there, present for them. All they had to do was to look and recognize that you cannot do better than perfection. And that's what they had. And by my opponent, he tries to say there's something better than absolute perfection. I was with the only ones that heeded me in the days of Noah. Although all the population of the earth, except for 8 souls, disregarded me. And they'd been drifting away from me for years. But there was that one man, Noah and his house, that did all that God commanded him. And because of that, mankind is saved because of me. Because of heeding me. Actually, my master. But we are one. I was with Moses. And so God had said concerning this man Moses, "If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of God, of the Lord. Why then are you not afraid to speak? Why then are you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" It was called into question by his own sister and brother of his leadership. And in essence, my foe, my antagonist, said to them, "You have the right to be leaders. Moses isn't the only one. He's not special." But God says, yes, he was. Yes, he was. And the reason being is that he heeded me. He heeded me until I wasn't heeded. And because I was not heeded, this man Moses was not allowed to bring Israel into the promised land. After all those years of complaining, after all those years of sorrow and agony in dealing with the people that were following after my foe, he was not allowed to finish the course that he had set on in bringing those out of captivity from Egypt. My antagonist, my opponent, my adversary, thought that he had won. But we see that he didn't. Because Moses, as with Elijah, was able to see something greater than that land of Canaan. Whenever Moses stood with my Lord as my Lord was being transfigured before them, he saw the glory. The glory that he had ever really looked to in being a follower of the Lord. I was beside King Saul. I even taught him to proclaim God's word, to prophesy among the group of prophets whenever he became king. And he prophesied with them, proclaiming the glories of God, until being king meant more than being in fellowship with God. And taking upon him that which was not his duty, nor that which was ascribed to him to offer sacrifice, he would not wait on Samuel. And at that time, he was already affected by my opponent. and made the statement, I forced myself and offered a burnt offering. I didn't wait on you. I was there with Saul, but he rejected me. I was directing David in his life. The Lord was with him. He was that man after God's own heart until the other swayed him and he lay with Bathsheba. But thankfully, as it is with all people, there is a way to return to the Lord, just as David did. And David came forth without excuse and said, I have sinned against the Lord. And because of God's mercy, and because David had listened to me, the Lord also has put away your sins. You shall not die, Nathan tells him. I raised Solomon. My master asked him, What do you want? I'll give you anything that you want. And here is what Solomon asked for. And even in the asking of this before he received the full aspect of me, he showed forth myself in his heart. Give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? And he listened to me. And he asked what he should. And we see that his wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men and men of all nations. From all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. He received from the Lord because he asked of me. But we know that he turned from me. And what a sad commentary on those that will turn away from me and not look to me ever again in their life. And here is this man that had an understanding heart above all others that is not even mentioned in the book of the faithful because he was not. He followed after my opponent. I was with the Lord and I was verified on that day that my master tested him. And whenever he was asked, command these stones to be made bread, it was out of that which is his and his father's that he answered. Man shall not live by bread alone. It is written, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And whenever he heard the words of Satan, quoting scripture, he said to him, it is written again in saying, you're twisting the scriptures. It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. I'm not going to cast myself down from this high pinnacle of the temple. And then, whenever he was offered all the kingdoms of the world, my master said, away with you. He used me. Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only will you serve. And then that devil, that adversary, left him. I counseled Judas, and he was among those that went out on that limited commission and taught God's word. He preached. He was among the 11 others that had been chosen by Jesus. And he preached, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Judas preached that. And Judas healed the sick and cleansed the lepers and raised the dead and cast out the demons and provided nothing for himself because he was taken care of by Christ Jesus. But he forgot that. He forgot that. And he betrayed my master and betrayed him with a kiss. He told the Sanhedrin, whoever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him. And he immediately went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. Oh, I made a scene that day of showing forth, of course, there was still that element from God that never goes away. Because my master did not back away from what he was appointed to do. even with the deception that was being presented by my adversary. I warned Peter and told him, you're not looking at things of God if you're saying that there's no need for me to die. It is for that purpose that I came. Get you behind me, adversary Satan, for you do not desire the things that are of God, but the things that are of men. The things that are of men are my opponent. The things that are of God is what he possesses, me. But he forgot me. And three times he denied me before my death, denied my master before his death. And then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, which was speaking forth, he was speaking forth with me, or by me, how he had said before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. But he came back to my master. And we see it at the end of his life. 1 Peter 1, verses 12 through 15. This man that had denied Jesus says, for this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you are already established in the present truth. It's interesting. Peter had forgotten his Lord there for a few moments. Denied him three times, but now he comes back to his senses using me. And is able to say before his death, I want to remind you not to be like I was. Yes, I think it is right as long as I'm in this tent, in this body, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, I must die, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Here is this man that forgot his Lord for that short period of time and denied him three times, and he emphasizes the reminder that they needed and that we need. And he does that by me. I was at the cross. I was embodied in the words of Jesus, but none listened. Out of love, I fulfill my purpose. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I'm a gracious God. I'm a gracious Lord. A gracious sacrifice is what Jesus is saying. And that comes from the standpoint of wisdom, because God is love. I keep my promises to believers. Today you will be with me in paradise. He told the thief that repented and came to his senses. The care of the family must not be shunned. And he says to John, one of his apostles, as he's hanging on the cross, woman, behold your son. And then he said to John, behold your mother. You care for her. I want her cared for. He made provision for that because he was walking by me and speaking by me. And then he says, I'm verifying who I am to you. You've denied me, but here is the verification. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Go back to the 22nd Psalm and you'll see me. Jesus is telling them, he spoke from me. I've suffered for you, and now I thirst. I've given myself for you. I'm the sacrifice for your forgiveness, and now it's coming to an end. I thirst. I thirst. I trust in my Father as you must. He cried out as he was there on the cross just before his death, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And those that follow me will say the same thing. Not only in death, but in life, because they speak by me. And then Jesus said at the end, my work for you is completed. It is finished. And we know that he would rise again to ratify it. But he came for his purpose and followed it and showed forth that he was walking by me, not only in life, but also in death. Who am I? I am wisdom. Proverbs 4, verses 5 through 9. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget not, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, wisdom, and she, wisdom, shall preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the main or the principal thing. Get wisdom with all you're getting, get understanding. Prize her. She shall lift you up. She shall bring you to honor when you embrace her. She shall give to your hand an ornament of grace. She shall shield you with a crown of glory. And the sad thing is, because of my adversary, people look at me and say, it's foolishness. It's just tradition. It's rituals. It's meaningless. And because of them staying in that condition, they'll never know the honor that can be bestowed upon them. I'm also a free offering to all. James 1, verses 5 through 7. But there has to be a desire of me in order for me to be given. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and will be given to him. How often I wish people would pray for me, and they forget to. But let him ask in faith, with nothing doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, but in faith and asking, it's a blank check to ask for me, wisdom. And God will give. One of us, either myself or my adversary, will lead you and direct you in this life. Romans 8, chapter verses 5 through 10. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. The things of the flesh are lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. But they that are after the spirit, spiritual things, that's me, wisdom, mind the things of the spirit, for the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the spirit in wisdom is life and peace. Because the mind of the flesh is enmity, hatred against God, for is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. They that are after the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not after the flesh, but in the spirit. That is, you are spiritual people who worship God in spirit and in truth. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you, for if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, because the Spirit is life, because of righteousness. Wisdom, me, teaches people. You can be in Christ Jesus, but it takes the turning down of the world and the turning down of self. Only one of us will make a better life for you now while you're here upon this earth, and also the one that is to come. 1 Peter 2, and especially in verse 5, godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life which now is, and that which is to come. You see, godliness comes from me. That God toward us is the wisdom in looking unto God for our direction, not only in this life, but also for the hope of the life that is to come, because we've been walking, you've been walking by me, wisdom. Choose me, and the Father, and the Son, and the Spirit are with you. Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 8. My son, if you receive my words, treasure my commands, apply your heart to understanding, cry out for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding, seek wisdom as silver, search for her hidden treasures. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God that is from wisdom. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom. For the right, he is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Trust in my master and trust in me that he uses. Because in him, and by what he has done and what he says, there is redemption. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made known or to abound in us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will. The word of God, the wisdom. So I exhort you not to trust in yourself. Wisdom speaks to you, cries to you. Don't trust in yourself. There's a way that seems right to man, Proverbs 14, verse 12, but its end is the way of death. Because you see, it's not looking upward. Is looking inward. Rather, trust in the Lord through me, wisdom, and be justified. The Lord said in Luke 7, 31 through 35, to what then will I liken this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, saying, we played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We mourned for you, and you did not weep. For John the Baptizer came neither eating or drinking, and you say he has a demon. They rejected the gospel call that John brought. Many of them did. And then he says, the Son of Man come eating and drinking. And you say, look, a glutton and a winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. There was going to be nothing to satisfy them. The one sent by God and the one God himself that was speaking by me wisdom. But wisdom is justified of her children and shown forth then in their lives and in their words and in their conduct the way, the truth, and the life that is through Christ Jesus. You have two choices that really is presented to us. Either we walk by the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. It's ever been before, ever been since the beginning. Or we walk by the wisdom that comes from God, which predates the beginning of time. It is eternal. Now let me ask you, which one are you going to trust in? If you're not a child of God, will you this day walk by wisdom and look to God's word, be obedient to him through faith with a penitent attitude, and be baptized for remission of your sins? Sounds so foolish to the world, doesn't it? But it's the wisdom of God. And if you are a child of God, are you walking by wisdom? Are you showing yourself daily that you're a living sacrifice unto him? Because that's wisdom. And that wisdom speaks back to the sacrifice that Christ Jesus gave on the cross for us, so that we can receive his mercy. And when we find ourselves lacking, we ask his forgiveness, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. If there are those that we can help in any way, follow wisdom now as we stand and sing.